And these top 10 principles that I have put together here for this program, you might want to jot down. You might want to go into your desk and just take out a little piece of paper. But I think if you practice them and look at them and see them, they come from someone who's had a burning desire but has also been living a life in which I have felt independent of the opinions of others in terms of whether or not I should or shouldn't be doing that. There's something that I allow to consult myself, within myself, rather than looking outside to see if this is right or not. And so let me just kind of, I'll number them and I'll go through them and I'll give you some examples of them and you decide whether they're to your liking or whether they work or not. The first of these principles came from a Vedantic scholar in the 10th century. His name was Tilopa. It's not exactly bestseller books, but it's the kind of thing that really excites me because I think of going back 1,000 years or 2,000 years and reading what some of the greatest minds had to say and how open they were to the potentiality that each and every one of us have for greatness. And this first principle says, as Tilopa put it, have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. One of the central principles of my life is that no one knows enough to be a pessimist about anything. And that each and every one of us, when we close our mind to what is possible for us or what is possible for humanity, closes off the genius that resides and lives in each and every one of us. Having an open mind doesn't necessarily mean finding fault with all of the things that you've been taught by others. It means opening yourself up to the potentiality and the possibility that anything and everything is possible. So having a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing really means finding within ourselves the ability to get rid of a trait that I find so common in the contemporary world. Do you know that most people that I meet spend their lives looking for occasions to be offended? They actually are out there hoping that they can find some reason to be offended. And there's no shortage of reasons. They're out there everywhere. The way this person dressed, what this person said, they turn on their TV, they hear the news, they're offended by this. Someone used language that they didn't like. Someone doesn't share the same customs that you. And people all day long, in fact, if you keep track tomorrow, you will find probably 100 reasons that you can go around being offended. But a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing is a mind that says, I'm never looking for anything to be offended by. And that whatever anybody else out there has to say, my response to that is, that's an interesting point of view. I've never considered that before. I remember being interviewed for a morning television show, and the woman that was interviewing me said, how does it feel to be talking to audiences where people have all of these strange beliefs, these weird things that they come to? And it intrigues me because one of the things that Emerson said is in one of his very first essays, he says, the first thing we have to say respecting what are called new views here in New England, where we are right now, is that they are not new. But the very oldest of thoughts cast into the mold of these new times. And that was in 1842. He was speaking about that. And this woman asked me the question. She said, doesn't it offend you that there's people out there and they're talking about people using crystals to heal somebody? And I remember my response. My response was that if I've got hemorrhoids and somebody out there is convincing me that crystals are going to heal them, I'm ordering crystal chairs. Why not? I mean, all you have to do is understand something called a placebo. And what is a placebo?